All right. Well, we are preaching on Proverbs 4 this month. So we're going to be, I'm going to start in Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 22. And then we're going to kind of dissect that a little bit. So Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." Okay, you can be seated. So our way of life is defined and will be defined by the words that we choose to follow. God wants to lead our lives. He wants to lead our decisions, our everyday decisions, and also our major decisions. And God's word has both general instructions and specific. And this is what's important for us to learn. It's a guideline for life, but it also gives us specific counsel, instruction, and direction. And how we listen and obey will determine the choices that we make and the paths that we take. So we need to learn to listen to God, to hear from him daily, as well in the everyday decisions as in the major struggles. But I want to talk to you tonight about just learning to hear a word from God specifically for specific situations. Because like I said, the Bible is both, it is both general instructions. There are general instructions that are given to all Christians that as we study the Bible, as we read the Bible, as we hear preaching, as we listen to the radio, that we just learn there are things that you do and things that you don't do. There are things that are true about Christians all the time. There are things that are given to us, promises to us that are given to us as Christians. But the word is also, in fact, look in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I want to read that because I didn't type that on my notes. But Hebrews 4, okay, I'll just read it from here. "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So we've said it before. The Bible is, you don't just read the Bible. The Bible reads you. That's what this scripture is saying. It says it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's why you can read the word or somebody can read a scripture in church and it feels like it just, somebody has been reading my journal. Like, how do they know exactly what I'm struggling with and what, how do they know what I just did this past week and why I'm struggling with that? Because the word is living, because it is not like any other book. It is not just a textbook. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But my first point, if you put up the first PowerPoint, Ezra, it is give attention. Now, notice the teacher with the students. Pay attention, please. It's very important. What you value, you give attention to. And when you are in a situation where you're trying to explain the rules, my kids were playing a game the other night, and Lydia was trying so hard to explain the rules, and everybody was just kind of all over the place. And it's very frustrating when you're trying to explain something to people, and they're just kind of all, she's like, because, and they're just kind of all over the place. But how must God feel when we are reading our Bible like we read, I don't know, the telephone book, you know? I mean, actually, the telephone book, we read with purpose. Because if you're reading the telephone book, you're typically looking for something, which nobody reads the telephone book anymore. But, you know, back in the day, you look up a specific letter, and then you look up that address with that name, you know? And so when we read the Bible, if we, like Rick said this morning, if we just read it, wah, 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 wah. Now, I'm going to tell you, because I believe this, doing that is better than doing nothing. Like, at least if you're reading the Bible, you're putting it into your heart, and the Holy Spirit can bring it back to your remembrance. But better, a better way to read the Bible is what this says in Proverbs 4, give attention to my words. We value with what we value, we will give attention to. If somebody is giving a lecture on cancer, and you don't know anybody who has cancer, you might sit there and think, this is interesting information. Maybe I will file it away because I might need it one day. You might even take some notes, but it's not going to impact you like it will if you have just found out that you're diagnosed with cancer or someone that you love is diagnosed. All of a sudden, what happens? All of that information that was a little bit maybe seemingly irrelevant before or maybe important for somebody for another day, all of a sudden becomes very relevant to you. And you know, when you are sitting on the edge of your seat, you don't want to miss a single word. I'm telling you, sometimes we give more attention to a movie than we do to the Word of God. And that's in church and in our devotions. Because, you know, if you go to a movie and you pay for a movie, like, you don't go to the bathroom unless you really, like, I am not going, like, until I really, like, cannot enjoy this movie unless I go. Why is that? Because you don't want to miss something important. We should give the same attention to the Word of God, whether it's being preached, whether we're studying. And listen, the Lord has dealt with me about this because I do everything pretty much on my phone these days. Because I can sit in Eden's room in the dark feeding her or doing whatever I'm doing, you know, and I can read my Bible with the light on it, and I can make notes on my journals on my phone. My Bible is on my phone. You know, I mean, I have a lot of stuff. My calendar's on my phone. If something comes to mind, my alarms are on my phone, which constantly, you know, I have alarms going off throughout the day reminding me of stuff so that I don't forget. But what I have had to be careful about is that sometimes I will not give the same attention to God that I would a person sitting in front of me. Like, if a person's sitting in front of me, I try, unless it is one of my children, because if it's one of my children and they really need me, I'll say, excuse me, let me get this phone call or let me answer this text message. But if it's not really important and I'm talking, I try to be present with the person that I'm talking to. And yet sometimes we don't give the same attention to God. We need to give attention to the Word of God. Listen, if you're reading your Bible on your phone, tell yourself, I am not going to be distracted if a notification comes up from Facebook. I will respond to Facebook later. I am not going to be distracted. If somebody texts me and it's not dire, I will text them back later. That text message will still be there, you know, 15 minutes later or 30 minutes later or whatever. Give attention to what God is saying. Be on the edge of your seat, so to speak. Take notes. Often I will put notes. I have a Bible app that I use a lot, and I can write a note on the Bible app. And many times that's what I do when God speaks to me, or if he brings another verse that makes me think of the one, because the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, teaches in Corinthians 2:13. I think it's 1 Corinthians. It's either first or second, but it says the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. If you don't understand scripture, the best thing that you can do is read more scripture and talk to somebody if you don't understand. Like, read the references, that read the scriptures that go along with it, because many times it will shed more light. Many of the parables are in multiple gospels. Don't just read it in one gospel. Like, my Bible will list where it is listed, or you can look up just about anything on Google. I mean, it is really amazing. If you know, like, okay, a scripture just came to my mind. I was reading this. That sounds like a scripture I've heard. I'm telling you, if you will type it into the bar, just the words that you know, a lot of times, I have done this many, many times, that verse will come up. So if you don't know where it is, that's okay. And if you don't have a reference Bible, that's okay. Just type it into your computer or into your phone and let it come up, and then read that verse and the surrounding verses. Because God will teach us and he will explain things to us, but we have to take it to heart. We have to give attention. Make notes in your Bible, and often say a prayer right then. Pam said this sometime recently, I don't know. She said, pray about it. If something comes to your mind, pray. Or if you need to repent, she said today in Sunday school, repent right then. But if I am reading something and it convicts me, I will stop right then and say, Lord, please forgive me and help me in this area to do better. Or if somebody comes to mind and I'm reading the scripture and I feel like, man, this scripture applies to this person. God, would you help them to do this? Would you help them to walk in this way? That we can stop. The Lord doesn't mind if we stop reading and say a prayer. Because reading, this is what I want us to understand. Reading and prayer and listening, they all go together. Reading the Bible and listening to the Holy Spirit is a package deal. If we will read like the Holy Spirit is teaching us through the Word, then we will get things and the Holy Spirit will show us how to live. So make notes. If you're reading it, your Bible on paper, make notes. Write a verse beside it. Brother Mike taught me that years ago. You know, write the reference beside the verse so that the next time you read that verse, you go, oh, I wrote this reference beside this verse. What does that mean? And you reread it. Or, oh, I wrote what this word because, or underline this word all really stood out to me. Or this word, whatever it is. Make notes so that you can remember. Okay, so number two. So first is give attention, which is just what Proverbs 4 said. My son, give attention to my words. Then he said, number two, incline your ears to my saying. Will you put up PowerPoint 2, Ezra? Have a listening ear. Okay? If you're in a struggle, keep your ears open to what the Holy Spirit would say to you. Because the cool thing about reading the Bible is it is not only for today, it is a deposit for tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. I have had the Holy Spirit bring scriptures back to me that I go, I don't even know when I read that. We were in a situation one time, and Rick and I, we were just seeking God. God, please show us what to do. We don't know what to do. And a scripture, actually, I didn't even know it was a scripture. A sentence popped into my head. I typed the sentence into Bible Gateway, and Amos came up. I thought, I don't even know when I've read Amos. I mean, I have read it, but I don't know when it was. Like, it hadn't been in the recent past. The Holy Spirit knows His Word. God knows it, so He can bring it to our remembrance. Even if you heard it in a message or you read it in your devotions like a year ago, the Holy Spirit will bring that back when you need it. That's another reason why it's so important that we read the Word. But have a listening ear. So if you're struggling, if you're just struggling in any kind of consistent thing, that you're struggling with temptation or you're struggling with a relationship or you're struggling with what to do in a situation, just keep your ear just like this, listening, because the Holy Spirit will speak. I've had God speak multiple things. Some of the recent things that God has spoken to me, just, it's come to my mind. Esteem others higher than yourself. That's the scripture. And the Lord has been teaching me that. Esteem others. Think of other people more higher than yourself. Think of their needs. Think of, you know, esteem them higher. Another thing that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me lately, in fact, I read in Psalm 1, and a lot of times when a word is from the Lord, it'll just keep coming. It'll stay in your mind, and you'll keep thinking about it. And this was in Psalm 1, it says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season." I am in a very different season of my life in the recent past. You know, the last 4 months has been very different for me. Adding a baby and a toddler to our already full family has honestly created a much different dynamic than I even expected. Because I am such an optimist, which honestly, I really enjoy. Like, I like being an optimist. I like seeing the glass half full, but I never expect for things sometimes to require as much time and to take, you know, the toll sometimes that they're going to. I just don't. And so I've been like, this is a very different season. And it was neat because even Rick and I, to be perfectly honest, it's like we have to steal moments away together. And we've had very little of that. And I was talking to the Lord about it. And I feel like my time with the Lord has been very different than it was even when I had Jude. Just because, you know, anyway, that takes too long to go into. But the Lord will show you, and He showed me, Shannon, you're in a different season now than you were even when you had Jude. So you are to bear fruit in this season. And I said, and I just thought it was such a comfort to me. So I thought, okay, Lord, help me to bear the fruit in this season where I am now that you would have me to bear. Because the truth is, I'm not in 3 years ago, and I'm not even in 9 years ago, you know, or 5 years ago when all of our children were in school and we didn't have toddlers at home. You know, we're in different seasons, but God knows where we are. And so he will speak to us based on where we are. Take some time to sit and listen to God. If you want God to speak, then you have to be quiet. Have you ever been in a conversation where you literally cannot get a word in edgewise? Like you try and the other person never stops talking. Like there is no break even. I think sometimes we're like that with God. Like we come into our prayer time and we just talk. Like we don't even stop to listen. And maybe we sing a few songs, which worship is awesome. I love worship and we should worship in our time with God. But even that is still us, you know, us responding to God. And we need to stop sometimes and just say, okay, Lord, I just want to hear what you have to say. And even when we read our Bible, we can read it like a chore or like a job, or we can read it listening with our ears. God, what are you saying to me? And I'm telling you this, if the Holy Spirit, if something comes to your mind to read, like if you keep thinking, man, I really need to read Proverbs, or I really like Psalm 23 just keeps coming to my mind. Pay attention to that. I have read Psalm 23 every day for weeks sometimes because the Holy Spirit kept bringing it to my mind. And through that, God started teaching me. And then in a moment when I was overwhelmed, the Holy Spirit reminded me, you have a good shepherd. You don't have to be overwhelmed. The good shepherd is watching out for you. And so he will walk with us through life. But we need to have our ears open, because if I hadn't had my ears open when God was telling me to read Psalm 23, or when the Holy Spirit was saying, bear fruit in this season, or when God was saying, esteem others higher than yourself, I wouldn't have heard what he was saying. We have to have our ears open, because when God spoke to Elijah, and this is where we get this from, God spoke to Elijah and he came and there was a fire and there was an earthquake, and it says, but God was not in the fire. God was not in the earthquake. He came and spoke, the Bible says, in a still small voice. And so we have to be still and we have to listen sometimes to hear what God is saying to us. And we need to still our heart even when we're reading the Bible so that we hear what it's saying. And sitting on that, like, God, what are you saying to me? God, I know that you want to speak. What do you want to say? I want to hear what you have to say. Robert Morris shared, there's a message from the frequency message, and he said that he was talking to the Lord and he came in and he just had this whole list of things, you know, that he needed to pray, because intercession is a good thing. We want to pray and intercede. And he said, he felt like God said to him, whoa, just stop. And he said, God said to him, I know you, and I know that you're about to leave because you have this appointment. Psalm 139 that we studied in Sunday school this morning says, God knows our when we sit and when we rise. He knows our schedule for the day. And he said that the Lord said to him, I know that you're about to leave this, leave for this appointment. So I will take care of your list. Let's just sit and talk. Listen, intercession and prayer over things is powerful, and we should do that. But if you only do that and you don't have time just to sit and talk with God, you're not giving him the time that he wants to speak to you. Just sit and say, God, I just want to be with you. I just want to hear what you have to say to me today. I'm just going to slot this time just to listen and just to hear. And I'm going to read your word just because I want to get to know you. And I want to see what you have to say to me. This is a friendship. The Bible says that Jesus said, I have called you friends. So reading the Bible and listening to the Holy Spirit helps you find what he's saying to you at this time. It is not just looking through a textbook to find the answers. You know, like when we're in high school, for me, that was a really long time ago, you know, but when I was in high school and I'm studying to fill out a study guide, I would probably not ever read the chapter. Like I just look for the answers that I'm looking for. Like, let me just fill in this answer so that I can fill in. And sometimes that's what we do. And looking up scriptures, like if you're dealing with fear, I'm going to look up all the scriptures that talk about fear. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. We should do that. But when we start looking for God's will and try to manipulate his will into our will and then stand on that, then that can create problems. I've told you guys before, but I found the verse. Ezra, will you put up Deuteronomy 24:5? To make a really long story short, when Rick was going to Okinawa, and most of you have heard this story, that I was determined that it was not, the military said he was going to Okinawa for a year unaccompanied. I was determined that could not be God's will. So rather than asking God, God, is this your will? Do you have a plan for us to go to Okinawa? Which he did. I looked in the Bible. I found this verse. When a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war or be charged with any business. Now, there was no war going on in Okinawa, but that didn't matter. Because it was a military verse and it worked for me. So he shall not go out to war or be charged with any business. He shall be free at home 1 year and bring happiness to his wife who he has taken. Do you see why I was standing on this verse? I was like, that is my verse. My husband is not leaving. Like, it is not God's will for him to go to Okinawa. Surely this cannot be God. Like, I have waited all my life for this man and now he is here. It is not God's plan for him to leave. I took that scripture and stood on that scripture like we tell you you should do. The problem was that was not God's plan. I had found an answer based on my will and then tried to bend God to do my will. God is not manipulatable. I mean, you can try to manipulate him. It will not work. You will just end up frustrated, which is what happened. On the day that I dropped my husband off at the airport for him to fly to Okinawa, I was heartbroken and completely confused. I thought, God, I obviously cannot hear you on anything. But the problem was, now it's very clear to me, I never sought God for his will. And my mom actually said that during that time, she kept hearing wise men from the east. Because when we went over into the east, that we would come back wiser. But I didn't want to hear that because that could not be God's will. Listen, I'm telling you this to understand when we want to hear from God and we want to stand on the word, we need to be in neutral with our flesh is concerned. We need to get to the point where, God, I want your will. Will you show me what your will is? For example, if you're in an argument with somebody, you don't look up a scripture that shows you how to, you know, fix them. You know, what you do is you say, Lord, would you show me? God, if I'm wrong, show me. If they're wrong, show them. Is there a way that you want me to respond? And sometimes God will say, if your brother has aught against you, go to them. Or God will say, you know, I don't know, whatever. We're being honest here. The biggest struggles that Rick and I have is between us and each other, you know, between each other. And I've had times where I've wanted the Lord to speak to me about what to do. And God has said, love keeps no record of wrongs. Love esteems the other person higher than yourself. And so I'm learning still to seek him and say to him, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? What do you want me to do in the lives of my children? How to raise them? What do you want me to do, in leading this church? God, in all of these areas, we can seek him. So the last one that I want to go over quickly is, will you put up the last one, Ezra? Do not let them depart. Keep them in the midst or in the center of your heart. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Rick said this morning, it is not that God's word loses its value or that it's even forgotten, that it just vanishes away. He said, it's that if we only put it one day a week and then we put all this other stuff in, we put people's advice, we put, you know, all these other things that we hear throughout the week, it's that it basically gets covered up and we forget it. It's not that God's word isn't powerful, because his word is powerful. And the Bible says it will not return void. But when I pile a bunch of stuff on top of it and I don't stay current in reading the word and letting his word speak to me, then it gets covered up by all of this other stuff and forgotten. And that's sad, because it is the most powerful thing that we can read. So once you hear from God, don't look at how you feel or what you see. Live by what God has spoken to you in his word. When God gives you direction or God gives you a rhema word, and that's for another message, but when God speaks to you something and you know, God, this is what you are saying to me. This is, like Janine has talked about before, this is my fight verse. This is what I know that you are saying to me about this period in my life, about this situation and how I'm to respond. Then you stand on it and you don't let anything deter you. That's why the word says, do not depart. 2 Corinthians 4:18. It says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So when God gives us something to stand on, we have to choose not to look at what we see, but to look at God who has said it. Because sometimes, even when God gives us a verse to stand on, or God gives us a promise that he is doing in our lives, I'm just going to tell you, that doesn't mean that things in the physical immediately line up with what God has said. That would be awesome if it did, but that will require very little faith. Because if God gave us a verse and the next minute it happened, we only have to stand in faith for a minute. We don't grow very much. But if we, like Abraham, I want to end with these verses. Romans 4, verse 17. My dad preached on these verses many, many times because he was a man of faith. He is a man of faith because he is serving, walking with Jesus in heaven. But Romans 4, 17 says, as it is written, this is talking about Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. It also says, will you put that in King James real quick, Ezra? Okay, it says, even God who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. That's what it says about God. And that's sometimes what God calls us to do, is to speak life into a situation, to see what God is saying about that situation before we see it in the physical, because that's what God does. Okay, will you continue on? I can read it actually too. Verse 18, let's go back to New King James. Who contrary to hope, this is talking about Abraham, in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. So what this is saying is that Abraham stood on the promise that God had given him, regardless of what he saw. Regardless of the fact that he was too old and Sarah was too old to have a baby, he stood on what God had promised him. And that's what God calls us to do sometimes, is to stand on the word that God has given us until we see it happen. Because it did happen with Sarah, had a baby at 90 years old, which was way beyond what should have ever happened. It was miraculous. And that's how we see the miraculous, is by standing in faith. But in order to do that, we need to hear from God. And in order to hear from God, sometimes we need to be careful that we're not manipulating just to hear what I want to hear. That we are hearing from God, that we are still in quiet, that we are in neutral to hear, God, what are you saying to me? How are you speaking to me? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? And man, serving God is awesome. Because no matter what season of life we find ourselves in, God is faithful to walk with us as our good shepherd. Robert Morris said today, and I was going to show it, but it just kind of, I didn't feel to, but I'm going to post it on Hashtag the message. But he talked about sheep, and he talked about that when we pray, he said, you bring your burdens to the Lord and you leave them there. He said, if you come in prayer and you leave just as burdened as you came, you didn't pray. You griped, you know, and I have been guilty of that. But he said, the thing about sheep, we are often referred to as sheep. Nowhere in the Bible does it refer to us as donkeys. It refers to us as sheep. He said, sheep are not load-bearing animals. You never hear somebody say, Well, yeah, I've got this trip, so I'm going to rip me some pack sheep and pack them down. And you don't hear that because sheep, they're not load-bearing animals. You don't load them up and then have them carry stuff. We are not meant to carry the burdens of life. We are meant to go to the secret place, give them to our counselor, our father, our friend, and say to God, God, you know me, you know the situation, you know my struggles, you know, God, my needs better than I do. And God, you are almighty and you are able to give me wisdom and to give me strength and to show me what you would have me to do in each situation. And man, there is such peace in that. And I am so thankful. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that comes from your word and from relationship with you. Help us, God, to live it out, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.